Welcome to Motivational Monday. Glad you are here on this day. Last session, if you were here last week, and maybe you're just jumping into this cold today, your first Motivational Monday, you're wondering, where are we? What's happening? Well, I'm in the middle of a podcast on Lose, Love, and Live for these Motivational Mondays. Started on June 7th and going through August 9th, a 10-session series to this. These are all connected, and so you may want to go back and listen to one before you get to this one. But last session, I talked about guilt. This one, I want to talk about forgiveness, that true forgiveness. I hinted at it last session, but diving a little deeper here. So let's be motivated to live in a place of blessing, of forgiveness. Well, we know the way to new life or the way to living without the presence of someone or something that has been significant requires that a person lives through all kinds of dimensions of life. And there are so many dimensions. We're like a complex Rubik's Cube. And we might want to try to fix or to solve the problem or to figure out the formula to get the answer. But it takes a lot of work. And one of these areas of life to consider in this journey is all about forgiveness and discovering that forgiveness. We want to be visited by a forgiving spirit in our life. It's called grace. And once we've struggled and maybe identified the experiences of our humanity and the humanity of others, we might find ourselves being more gracious toward others too, right? Once we've really considered the experience of humanity and the humanity of all, then maybe grace becomes more real, not just for you, but for everyone. And I think grace or forgiveness, a forgiving spirit, comes to us as a gift when we're no longer dependent on what we have lost for our sense of well-being. Because we all lose a lot and we have to look into that and say, what did that mean for me when I held that or when I was doing that? I had that particular job or I was in that relationship. And then when that is gone, now what? What is there? And I think it's also important to realize that forgiveness does not mean we're free from the memory of the past. You know, we don't forgive and forget, as some would say in a glib way, hey, just forgive and forget and just move on. No, we don't forgive and forget. The past will always remain an integral part of who we are. It's within our DNA. I think it's embedded within the soul. And so the pain of our losses becomes central to our new ways of self-understanding, who we're becoming, what we want to give our lives to. And so remembering the pain protects us in some ways from entering into those situations that could be dangerous for us too. An example of this would be if you have lived in a relationship that was abusive. You love this person and you kept giving this relationship your very best and you felt that you should stay. You kept forgiving and forgiving and you were tempted to just try to forget those hard parts or those really abusive parts, but it just was still there. We're not talking about forgiveness where you are run over and backed over. We're not talking about a forgiveness that allows the abuser to continue to abuse. To forgive but not forget will allow the memory of the loss to shape with what we do with our future, but to not control what we do. To remember, danger keeps us from putting ourselves in dangerous situations in the future. To forgive another person who's harmed us does not require that we subject ourselves to the dangers again, but may mean we move on with our lives without that person's presence in our home, or their physical presence even in our life, or their words within our headspace too. That's very important. Knowing the pain we've been through creates in us a compassionate spirit for others who are in pain. This is what we mean when God will not waste that experience. If we experience that in life, we can grow in compassion to the other and we can recognize the pain of the other. We do not want to forget the loss or that which has disappeared because it was part of the life we value, a part of the cadre of people who made up who we've become. What we've lost is a part of what has made us the person that we are, and it makes us an interesting person too, right? We have a story to tell, lots of stories to tell. Forgiveness is not freedom from the memory of the past. True forgiveness entails freedom from being controlled by what happened in the past. Whether our loss is by choice or by circumstance, anger and guilt will be a part of the loss. The power of that anger and guilt to control our future will lessen if we allow the forgiving spirit to be part of our lives. And we know that forgiving isn't always an easy thing to do. We want to be responsible people and we want others to be responsible. So it might feel as though we are excusing others' actions if we allow forgiveness to become part of the fabric of our soul. But by remembering what happened, forgiveness does not excuse. It remembers the pain. It remembers the person and the limits, a person's humanity. And it does not allow that memory to define how we will interact with that person in the future. Because forgiveness reminds us that the past was not all we needed it to be and probably could not have been, right? Forgiveness reminds us that the past was not all we needed it to be and probably could not have been. But we grow and we experience that life. And we trust in God to be there, ever present with us. So forgiving others in our lives may require exploring our relationship to this God of the universe. Being angry at God in a time of loss is not unusual. Anger at God was a common experience for many of the spiritual greats of the past. The ancient scriptures contain multiple examples of songs like Psalm 44 that express the Jewish people's anger as individuals and as a nation at the Holy One for not protecting them or for not punishing their enemies. Their anger was born from the belief that God did not act justly. Jesus expressed what some believe to be anger at God when he felt deserted at his death. Similarly, when we face losses that seem to result from an action by the divine who we believe could have done something or prevented the loss, we might grow angry. But as we explore those feelings, we may wonder if a forgiving spirit would be valuable. And I think as we grow through, that forgiving spirit proves valuable. You see, forgiveness has a way of weaving itself back and forth through all of our life. In consciousness and in unconscious ways, forgiveness is a part of our soul work, our relationship work. Forgiveness is not something that comes full-blown and once and for all. It comes a bit at a time. And so we must be open to the gift when it comes and allow it to mellow our heart and release us from the power of the past to control our future. Recognizing that forgiveness, when practiced in relationships, moves us toward full health and full life. And so, who do you need to forgive today? Maybe it's yourself. Maybe it's the other. Maybe it's a coworker, family member, friend. Maybe it's one that you go on a walk with each day. Who do you need forgiveness from in your own life? That's a deep question too, isn't it? Because just as much as we have a need to offer forgiveness, we have a need to receive it. And I think God is there speaking into that. So who is a good companion today in this way of walking through forgiveness? And how could you be a good companion for someone? Well, notice the people around you who've gone through significant changes in their lives and who seem to have an energy and a vitality for living. And visit with them and ask them to tell you about their losses. Ask them to tell you how angry they felt and then how they were freed from anger. I really want you to do this. I want you to try this. Call up somebody and ask them about the losses that they've experienced and then ask them to tell you how angry they felt and how they were freed from that anger, if they feel freed from that anger. They may never have talked about it, but when you're around these people, you know that they have somehow moved beyond the pain to new discovery and excitement. You recognize something in them. That's there. Now, other people who may be helpful to you in these times are those who can mirror back to you your own humanity in a loving way. That is, good friends are people who can help you find humor in your own humanness. Yes, where you need to be forgiven too, where you need to maybe tread more gently with yourself and with others, moving past that sense of harsh judgment. When we see in ourselves what we hate in another, we often are more open to grace. I'm going to say that again. When we see in ourselves what we hate in another, we are more open to grace. We can at least see that our future does not depend on remaining attached to the other through our anger at them. And finally, good friends are also people who can live with us in a way that pulls our past out of us and awakens us to the possibility of a vital future. People who excite our life energy help us realize that the past is just that, past. It's in the past. They help us realize there is life to be lived in the future, and we're being pulled that direction. Their presence captures our delight and helps us to taste the future. And our taste of the future might tease our hunger for something new, for something that is to come. And I think forgiveness is a key piece of the journey in experiencing that kind of life. So as you work on this, as you journal through this, again, call somebody on this week and stay motivated to live in that constant state of forgiveness, both for self and for the other. But remembering, it's not about forgiving and forgetting, but always learning and always growing. All right, stay motivated. Good day.